But now, the CANDLES program is a major survey of some of the most distant galaxies at a redshift of greater than 7, and it hopes to answer some outstanding questions about the early universe. Andrew Ponson met Ross McClure from the Institute for Astronomy at the Royal Observatory in Edinburgh.
Well, this is a survey that was allocated time last year, and it's the largest ever survey to be allocated time on the Hubble Space Telescope over its entire time that it's been in orbit. The amount of time you get is allocated and how many orbits of the telescope you get. And this survey has been allocated 902 of these orbits, so that makes it easily the largest survey that's ever been allocated. All of it, or the fundamental data that this survey will take, is imaging with this new near-infrared camera that's been installed on the Hubble Space Telescope. As far as observing in the near-infrared part of the electromagnetic spectrum, then it's at least a factor of 10 more sensitive than any of the other cameras that have ever been on HST before. And because of that, that obviously means that we can observe objects which are about a factor of 10 times fainter than we previously could do. And because in astronomy, objects which are further and further in the furthest reaches of the universe are fainter and fainter because they're further away of us, the capabilities of this new camera means that we'll be potentially able to identify objects at greater and greater distances from us at earlier and earlier epochs in the universe's history.
So you're able to do two things, both find things presumably that are intrinsically fainter and also, as you say, things that are further away but the same brightness. So what do those two things, being able to do those two things, really tell us that's new that we didn't know before about the universe?
One of the key science goals that we're trying to address with this survey is basically whether or not we can identify the galaxies in the early epochs of the universe that were responsible for reionizing the universe. So in the very early part of the universe's history, the universe went through what people describe as a phase change, basically. And in the early part of the universe's history, it was entirely filled with neutral gas. But in the universe that we observe around us locally, then all of this gas is entirely ionized. So this the universe obviously changed at some point from being filled with neutral gas to being filled with ionized gas. And that change was caused by the energy that the first galaxies and stars were actually able to produce. So if we want to learn how this change from neutral to ionized happened, then we have to go back to the earliest history of the universe and actually determine the nature of the galaxies that formed there. This new survey is actually going to help us to identify these objects. So once we've identified them, then we have to learn as much as we can about their physical properties. We have model predictions for what these properties should be, but these are observationally untested at the moment because we haven't had the data to actually do that. So some of the data from this new survey is going to allow us to A, identify these galaxies and basically count them and sort of say, are there enough of these galaxies out there to potentially make this change in the universe from neutral to ionized? And if there are enough of them, are they compatible with what we would predict theoretically for what's necessary to do this job?
So it sounds like there are lots of stages in understanding and processing this data. What sort of timescales can we expect to see results coming out from this work?
A variety of timescales, to be honest. The survey in total has been allocated these 900 orbits of HST time. You can't take all of them in one massive chunk at the start of the survey, so they have to be spread out over time. So all of these orbits will actually, all of this data will actually arrive over a three-year period in total. So the final results, if you like, from the survey won't appear in the scientific literature for at least 3 years from now. And realistically, by the time people have extracted all the information they possibly can from the data, it'll be many years after that. However, one of the advantages of the survey is because there's so much data that has to be taken over a three-year period, data is taken in lots of different patches of the sky. And the schedule means that one of these areas of sky has been actually completed ahead of the others. And so people are furiously working to analyse that data set at the moment. And I would imagine that over the next 3 to 4 months, the first results will appear based on this data set in the literature. And people will make the first attempts to address the scientific questions that we were talking about earlier.
Ross McClure speaking with Andrew Ponson.